Welcome to the eBook Revolution podcast. I'm Emily Craven, bringing you interviews on writing, publishing, transmedia, book marketing, and the eBook Revolution. The companion website is ebookrevolution.blogspot.com. Enjoy the show. Hi there, everyone. Thank you very much for joining me for the first eBook Revolution podcast. I'm really excited about starting this podcast, and I hope you are too. I'm going to be learning a lot, and I know that you will definitely be learning a lot. Now, why start a podcast for eBook Revolution when we already have the blog? Well, doing interviews, which I do all of the time with different experts from around the world, seemed really silly to be doing those and breaking them up and putting them on YouTube where they're not downloadable. They're not download friendly to you guys. So I decided it's about time that I started up my own podcast for the blog. Now, the podcast is all about helping authors in their writing journey. So I want to hear what matters to you. I want to know what topics you would like to learn about on the podcast. So please email me any ideas, any thoughts, anything you desperately want to learn about or people you want me to talk to at ebookrevolution@yahoo.com. So that was ebookrevolution@yahoo.com. Now, I'm going to be putting up a podcast around about once every 2 weeks, though in the lead up to World Fantasy Convention in November in Toronto, which I'm going to this year, I'll also be putting out a couple of podcasts once every couple of days with authors who are going to be at the convention. So we'll be doing a bit of a 10 questions in 20 minutes marathon mini podcast with some fantasy authors to learn a little bit about their writing and how they get through the humdrum of pushing out words every day. That'll be coming up in the next 4 weeks. In terms of an update of what I have been doing, or to let you guys know a little bit what I've been doing in recent weeks, is eBook Revolution, The Ultimate Guide to eBook Success, is now available as its own eBook. Till now, for the past year, it's been available as part of an interview series with a set of interviews, audio interviews that I've done with 9 different experts in the field of internet marketing, in the field of eBooks, and best-selling authors. And that was all part of a series with transcripts, which is still available at the place that that I'm selling the ebook separately. But eBook Revolutions is available separately now, and you can buy it, or you can still buy the interview series at emilycraven.bookclub.co. Now, book club is spelt BKCLB. Also, over the past 2 weeks, I have released 2 new fictions. So I'm very well known in writing circles as being a YA fantasy writer, but I also write comedy, and I've set 2 novels in the realm of Facebook, where basically the whole story is told through Facebook status updates, through Facebook private messages, through notes. And they're both comedies. So one is called The Grand Adventures of Madeleine Kane, photographer extraordinaire. So it's a chick lit novel, comedy novel. Don't let the chick lit side of things, you know, turn you off. I just put it there as a little bit of a disclaimer that, you know, there may be just a little bit of a romantic interest, but it's not the main part of the book. And it's about a young woman from Australia who gets into a prestigious photography school in New York, and she is an absolute chaos magnet. Things just happen to her that would never happen to anybody else. She takes up being a pizza delivery girl and ends up doing things like delivering to porn sets. She ends up getting picked up by the FBI for an explorative stint in spy photography. Her brother's a bit of an evil genius, and he rigs her umbrella to yell abuse at people. So I had a lot of fun writing it. It was written a couple of years ago, and a whole heap of Facebook friends just sort of threw ideas at me, and this is what came out. So that's also available at emilycraven.bkclb.co. If you want to check it out, go for it. But this is just to let you guys know what I've been doing over the past couple of weeks. This weekend, I just finished my workshops at the National Young Writers Festival. So I was speaking there on the ebook revolution and on author marketing and how to make your ebook unique. So that was really fun. We had a great group of people there and we learnt a lot. I also did a couple of panels, one which had a great title. I love this. Holy shit, have you seen this? Where I was talking about the Choose Your Own Adventure that we did at the start of this year in Adelaide. And we also did a fantastic thing called a Petra Kutcher, where everybody had 20 slides, and each slide was up for 20 seconds, and you had to try and give a story behind the events that you set up. So that was a really great learning experience, trying to get an idea across. I think it's in about 6 minutes and 20 seconds, and it was very entertaining. Also, on Friday, I went to If Book Australia's Book Camp. Now, Book Camp is what's called an unconference, where basically all of the participants for Book Camp congregate at the start of the day, and people suggest topics to talk about. So it's all about the emerging future of reading, of writing, and we had a fantastic day where we talked about all sorts of things from QR codes to location-based storytelling. We also talked about collaborative writing and what authors can do other than selling books to get them income. So I'll be doing a little bit of a debrief on the eBook Revolution's blog, so look out for that. Well, I've kept you long enough. Let's get on with the show. Welcome, everybody, to another interview with eBook Revolution. Today I'm talking to Joel, how do you say your last name? This is going to be a difficult one.
Nikki Fortune Clark.
Nikki Fortune Clark.
That's right.
Wonderful. Joel is the co-founder and creative director of Switchvert. So it's a production and ideas house located in Washington, D.C. and also in Johannesburg, South Africa, I believe. So Joel is a writer and filmmaker, and he has an absolutely fantastic set of credits to his name, which are all, very adventure orientated. They're great fun to watch and a hell of a lot of fun to read. And what we're going to be talking to Joel today about is his new book, Awake, which is a sort of like a transmedia extravaganza almost. So we've got text and we have these beautiful images and drawings and QR codes, which are then linked to some fantastic videos. So thank you very much, Joel, for joining us today.
Thanks. It's an honor to be here. A lot of fun.
Joel, I remember when I first had a look at your trailer on YouTube, and I was just absolutely blown away. Why did you decide to go transmedia with your book?
You know, I'm a filmmaker and I'm a storyteller, and I've had an amazing opportunity for the last 10 years to tell just some incredible stories from around the world. So, and in some amazing locations, whether it's war-torn or adventure or mountaintops or kind of remote locations. But every time I come back, and I'm not just a filmmaker, I kind of call myself a storyteller first. So I speak a lot and I write a lot, but it's always through story. So kind of, I would tell these stories of these amazing adventures that my job has afforded me to have, has allowed me to have. And people would always say, man, I would love to meet that guy, or man, what an amazing, I'd love to see that. And, because I'm also a filmmaker, a lot of these stories, I did have footage, and I was making either documentaries or commercials or even just things for myself. So the idea of kind of showing people, it's the stories themselves were, I'm never really the hero in them, but I've been able to meet some incredible people who are heroes to me, and it's kind of like the opportunity of allowing others to meet them and hear about them and hear them speak for themselves and see the locations where kind of these amazing things happened excited me a lot.
And what sort of got you onto the idea of QR codes? Because obviously, that whole essence of being able to meet people and being able to actually see the things that you're filming in traditional publishing, it's not something that would have been thought that you could include into a book. So how did you sort of stumble upon that?
There's a great initially I wrote the book and it had links in it, and that was it. It was going to be, you could just either type in a link or click on a link. And then I saw this amazing video. It's probably had 4 or 5 million downloads at this point. It was the first ever animated tattoo. And it hit YouTube by storm, and this guy kind of actually put a QR code on his body and did a tattoo around it. And I saw that video and it kind of just blew me away for two reasons. One, it's a pretty simple idea and it was a pretty simple tattoo, but the fact that 4 million people thought it was that amazing told me two things. One is that there's a market here. There's people that actually think this is cool. And two is that, I'd seen QR codes kind of everywhere at that point, but I hadn't ever personally used one. So I really started, checking into them, and that's what gave me the idea. And what was kind of fun about the book is it morphed from there, and it kind of, we took that tattoo idea. And if you go to YouTube and type in first animated tattoo, you'll see what I'm talking about. But we took that idea, and we actually, there's a few videos that I shot specifically for the book that I had an artist come in and draw the background of the video. So you kind of, you scan the QR code and you place the phone on the book, and it becomes a part of this interactive experience. It becomes a part of the actual photo or sketch, the video that you're watching. So it's kind of, I mean, like every great idea, it's stolen from another one, but it was that tattoo that kind of started me on that journey.
Those pictures that you have around the QR codes are great. I remember one of the pictures is one, the video relates to a story that your father was telling, and in the picture it's got a whole heap of false teeth kind of floating around in the background, and relates a little bit to what you had in the video. So it's a really, really fun sort of synergy between the story and the video and the images that you got the artist to do.
Well, and that was it. What was fun about this was, I'm not by any means I can't even draw a stick man. So what was fun was working with the artist and saying, hey, here's the story, and here's the video, and I want you to create, his name is Mike Cody, and he's an amazing artist, but I was like, just take free reign and kind of like take elements of the story itself and create them in the sketches that go with the videos. So it was a lot of fun to kind of work with different, you know, with bring in different types of art as well in the book.
So did you compile it all together before you approached the publisher to print it?
No, I had the book written, and I had the trailer, an earlier version of the trailer, but complete. So to be honest, the book wasn't, it needed a lot of work when I went to the publisher, but it was the idea. And actually, I speak a lot right now on I think getting published is easier now than it's ever been in terms of when the I'm in a coffee shop here, so it's a little loud. But when the printing press was invented, it changed publishing for forever. And with the invention of the ebook and with the invention of QR codes and all this new technology, it's possible, you know, for somebody like me who had never done anything to come in and create this new product and get published. And the reason why is because it's for every story that's out there, there's a format that's waiting to be created. So I came in with the trailer, and I'm a storyteller, so I came with a few stories and a trailer, and I said, let me do this, and let's see where we can take it. And to be honest, the publisher really added a lot to it. They came in with some great ideas of their own, and we kind of they put a lot into it, more than I expected. And they were just so excited about it, because nobody knows where the book industry is going right now. Everyone, you know, some of the biggest publishers out there are just, they're willing to try anything right now because they want to be ahead of the curve. And we might find out in 1 month or 1 year that QR codes are so last year, and nobody likes them anymore because the new thing's invented. But that's nothing but good, because with every new technology, there's a new kind of book waiting to be created. So it really is a fun time for publishing right now.
And it made me so excited, because this is one of the first books that has actually actively gone and added that QR code into to have that extra to have that extra interaction with the audience. It's something that I've sort of been talking about on my blog over the past 2 years. I've been saying, these QR codes, you guys have got to get into them. You can do so many different things with them. You can see people reading your book. You can be doing, you know, sending people to book trailers, or you could be showing people, you know, if you had a travel book, you could be showing people where you are. And that's exactly what she did, and that made me really excited. Can you give us a little bit of a background on what you do and what started you writing and how you sort of got to where you are at the moment?
Yeah, you know, I'm as a filmmaker, I've had the opportunity to work with quite a few. Part of what we do is adventure things, but also part of what my company does is works with authors, which is, you know, was a niche market for us, and there wasn't a lot of high quality work in it, but it was kind of putting DVDs together to go out with books, but in no way was that interactive. So it kind of got into it by, you know, I just love telling stories, and I don't care whether I'm speaking or whether I'm filming or whether I'm writing. It's you know, story is kind of the language of every culture. And so the idea of, you know, the book kind of, it wasn't the kind of book I thought I would write. I'm actually writing a series right now that is coming out with HarperCollins, which at some point we should talk about, because it takes the interactive format to a much higher level than awake, if you can believe that. Yeah, I mean, it's just the idea of telling. I mean, I tell stories for a living, and I tell stories for fun. It's what I do, and bringing in video, I have it. I have 10 years worth of professional video that I've created, and fun things I've created with my family and friends, and it's just kind of putting all those stories together was just exciting for me, and the idea of adding the QR codes in, you know, really does. There really isn't a book like it. Al Gore has a book that just came out recently that is similar, but it's all third-party links. It's got QR codes. It doesn't have the sketches, but it's all third-party things. There's a few books out there that are great, but in terms of there's 48 specific things that feel like they were created for Awake. So as you're going through the book, you don't need any of the films. There's films, there's music, there's a couple galleries, but you don't need any of it to enjoy the book itself. You know, the idea with the book was to make it where it's the standalone. You can, if you don't like technology, if you don't own a smartphone, you don't want to go online, you can just enjoy the stories. But if you want more, if you want those rabbit holes, you want extra access to things, you have 48 opportunities throughout the book to, if you really like a story, to meet the character, to see what happened before, to see the story play out, to see other adventures that happen with those characters. It's kind of this infinite world where the book doesn't stop at the bindings. And it's just quite a fun experience, really.
A really good enhancement. It's rather than those third-party links you're talking about, it enhances the story, makes it more than just a book.
Yeah, and there's a lot. I mean, there's nothing wrong with third-party links, but that's kind of, you know, there's a few books that have tried that, and that's great, but that's just kind of like going to YouTube and it's a shot in the dark. Whereas if you have something, if you're really excited about a story and you want to delve deeper, you know, there's some characters, you know, that I talk about these stories that are just the most amazing people that I can imagine in this world that I've had the opportunity to spend time with making documentaries, and in Haiti after the earthquake, and in Antarctica filming a sitcom, but like diverse and strange stories, but with these people that are the fact that I had an opportunity to meet them and spend time with them really changed my life. So to be able to bring those experiences to others in a very practical way, where it's not just reading some words on paper or hearing me talk, it's kind of this whole interactive experience around it. It was just a really fun opportunity.
How did you get into all of these adventure things? How did that all start?
You know, most things in my life, I don't say no a lot. I wasn't qualified. I never studied film. It was always a hobby. I was a youth worker and moved to South Africa for 10 years, and it was just a hobby. But I have a lot of, I've always liked adventure things. I have a lot of friends who, you know, have climbed the Seven Summits. They've you know, done Everest multiple times, or North and South Pole, and they're close friends. And I, though I don't really necessarily seek out those opportunities, when one's presented to me, I don't say no. So even things like Haiti in 2006, the book starts out in 2006 being in Haiti, watching a woman being in a medical truck as a woman is being attacked right outside my door. And the man I was with, Father Richard Franchette, he's a priest, he's a hostage negotiator, and he's a doctor. And he's the most amazing man I've ever met. He gets out, he saves this woman's life, and it's just this incredible experience with this
wow
people attacking her. So I tell this story, and it's quite an intense story. But I tell this story, and then people are like, I want to see this guy, or I want to see the location. I mean, we were in Cité Soleil in 2006, where I'm not joking when I say there's not a single street that didn't have grenade shrapnel or bullet holes riddled throughout. It was a place the police hadn't gone for 3 years, and the UN only came through and covered tanks and convoys. And so I tell this story, and it's an amazing location. It's an amazing place. The reason why I was there was four of the film crews had been asked to go, and they all turned it down because it was too dangerous. But we decided, you know, we don't say no. We don't turn down projects when we feel like there's a good story there. So we went, we filmed this thing, and through that came this amazing experience and this amazing interaction with Father Richard Franchette. So in the book, you actually get to go see the location. You see the physical bullet holes in the wall. You see the dusty streets, and you hear Father Rick, the priest, actually tell his side of the story, as well as more stories.
What was the concept behind Awake? What are the elements that went into it?
I'm probably the central character in it, but it's not really, I'm not a really impressive person in terms of of having a lot to say, but it's kind of it's my story from childhood through till now, really. But I only picked stories that I had great videos and great films that really connected with them. And it's the people that really have impacted my life that I really believe would impact anyone's life. Just amazing people I've had the opportunity to meet. And it really, for me, I'm a Christian as well. So it's kind of how I believe God was speaking through these stories as well. I mean, it's not a preachy book by any means. It's a storytelling book, but because that's my frame of reference, that's where I, you know, that's also comes through as well. But it's stories of of people I've met that really have transformed my life and really are transforming the world. People who are really making a difference in the world in every sense, whether it's through adventure, through comedy, through social justice. The book and the film really takes you all over the world. Cause I've had the opportunity to create these products by going pretty much anywhere you can dream of. I've had an amazing, kind of fell into this filmmaking career. And I had the access to the films. I owned all the footage. So why not package it in this way that really is just it's a rush. It's a fun experience for anybody to go through.
That's wonderful. Are you sort of hoping that it inspires people in a way?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It is. It's my journey towards finding meaning, and it really is towards finding relationship with God in a way that I think is not religious and not shallow. The book really has three messages in it. It's love your neighbor, love God, and love yourself. And we always skip out on the loving yourself part. And the loving yourself part, in my mind, really means embracing the fullness of our story, embracing the fullness of every aspect that we have before us. So we've missed out on this whole, you know, it's kind of one-sided when we spend so much time. We have to, it's not a me-centered book. I mean, I spend a lot of time talking about the issues of social justice. I'm in Haiti. We're doing a child slavery documentary. We're doing a sex slavery documentary. We're doing a kidnapping documentary. We're doing a lot of things around the world in sub-Saharan Africa that are quite meaningful in the book. But at the same time, there's the message of stepping back, and I can't really love my neighbor unless I've learned how to love myself. So if there is a message in the book, that's kind of it's those three things together.
And in your videos, I've watched almost all of them now. In your videos, there are some instances where you're sort of telling us in a sort of a conversational way what happened in the event. But rather than using, I suppose, the documentary footage that you took, was there legality rights to those sorts of things? Did you have to be careful about what you had shot for one group and in comparison to what you were allowed to use or what you owned the rights for?
A couple of things. We did some work for USAID and had some great documentaries and commercials. And because just getting the rights for those, we didn't have them. And in all honesty, for somebody creating a book like this, I think when I look at Awake now, it's only been out for a few months, but you know, I spent a couple of years creating it. I think I probably went overboard. There's 48 links in it. It probably would have been
you can never go overboard with that.
I think it might have been a tighter book if there was maybe, you know, 30. I think there's a few, like you said, there's a few where I think that if people really enjoy the story, they can go and they can see me. You know, if it's just me talking, because a few of the links are just me talking, I tried to film them in such a way that they were at least not boring, you know, at a good location or two or three cameras. But still, you know, there's probably 10 or 12, and unless I don't know that everyone who reads the book will watch every link, which is fine. I think that's absolutely fine. And people who want to go deeper can. So maybe you're right. Maybe I didn't go overboard, but I feel like if in the next one that I create, which I'm working on now, I want every link to be very meaningful as opposed to, you know, hey, wow, I can have more links. I want every link to really add a lot as opposed to just be an interesting rabbit trail. But that might just where I'm at now.
That's actually a really fantastic point in the fact that just because you can do it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to add something extra.
Yeah, and
to what you're trying to say.
You know, I look at it now and they're sweet and they're nice, but they weren't necessarily warranted. But part of that was how I sold the book. Was I
I came in with this, you know, initially it was 75 links, and I cut it down to 48. But when I was sitting with the publisher, I showed them the trailer, and then I showed them a bunch of other links and told the stories around them and gave them a little bit of a writing sample, and that was it. So we're always thinking more is better at the very beginning, but as I'm creating new products now, it's, and I think that's just the journey that I think it's not a bad thing, but I'm just kind of figuring out that sometimes less is more.
So how did you, you said you approached a publisher, did you know somebody within the publishing industry, or this was something where you sort of cold called the publisher, as it were?
I did have a contact with a couple different agents, and really that's what I was saying. We are in the time right now where it's not impossible for a nobody to get published. I mean, a nobody meaning right now you're to get for somebody who hasn't written a book to get published, a publisher wants you to have, you know, 80,000 followers on Twitter and a massive blog following, and they want you to have your own group, your own tribe, so to speak. Whereas right now, you know, when I sold this, I had 88 followers on Twitter and I didn't have a blog. It wasn't about that, because you can finding an agent, which is the way to go about it. Cold calling a publisher doesn't really work anymore. But finding an agent, you need to have a clear understanding of what your format is, and have worked it out, how it's going to work. You know, we've got four other products I'm creating right now with different authors that take the idea of Awake into a fictional realm, which is it just blows Awake out of the water in some ways. But it's looking at what is the book about, how, you know, what are the stories in the book, and what can I create around this? And every agent right now that I've ever met is salivating for to be able to be the agent that brings it to the publisher and say, hey, I've got this. I know where the book, I know where it's going. I know where this E thing is going, because nobody does. And the publishers will be the first to tell you that they don't know where it's going. They're which is really exciting, actually, because it gives people like us, people like myself, who have no right to really have published anything. I mean, I can tell a story. I'm a decent writer, but you know, 5 years ago, before the ebook was created, I couldn't have done this.
And it was amazing, absolutely amazing job that you did.
Well, and that was in large part thanks to the publisher. You know, they really the idea of the sketches of, you know, I had the QR codes. The idea of inserting. And I had sketches that I was putting in the book. I was already working with the artist, but the idea of inserting the QR code into the sketch and the video into the sketch, I had seen, like I talked about the animated tattoo, but I still hadn't quite figured it out in my head. And the publisher Zondervan came in, and they really, they flew me up 3 times to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we sat down with a team of 10, 12 people, and we hashed it out over and over again, because they're excited. They're very excited about this kind of thing. And again, I know quite a few published authors now, and they're all like, "What? Wait, they flew you to, you actually met them in person like 3 different times? Like, that's not a normal experience." And it's because they were excited, and everyone's kind of excited about this new idea, this new format. And like I said, it could be, you know, we could all laugh next year and say, "Oh man, that QR code was such a dumb idea. Now we have this new technology that's so amazing," which is awesome. But, you know, with everything that's created, there's a new format waiting to be, and a new book format waiting to explode, which is a really exciting time for publishing.
So how have you gone about promoting your project? Has it taken a bit more effort than you expected?
Yeah, and this is where I'm very lacking. I'm not too good at it, and we're really only starting to promote it now. I'm actually heading out Wednesday to, I'm speaking at 3 different conferences that, you know, 2 on story and kind of actually exactly what this interview is about where the book industry is going and on formats, and then 1 on specifically writing. But when it comes to marketing, I actually am terrible. And this is where I think the publisher hasn't necessarily come to the table as much as I would have hoped, but I think it's normal. Like I think every published author I've spoken to has the same reaction of, well, the book.
Yes, so I've heard.
and the publisher's kind of mostly done. They're doing a little bit, but they're at this point they've done their job. So it really is. I mean, things like this, things like speaking to you and to your audience, and I'm learning. So at this point, the book's only been out for about 3.5-4 months now. I don't think it's. I mean, based on what I can tell from Amazon numbers, it's not selling well yet. We won't know for a few more months. But I also, nobody knows it's out there yet. So I'm doing as much of this kind of stuff as I can talk about, as I can do. And it's, we're excited about the book, and now we'll see what happens from here, I guess.
So is it only available on Amazon, or is it going out to bookshops as well?
In bookshops, it's every Barnes and Noble in the U.S. has two or three copies, and it's the physical book in some ways is equally fun, if not even more fun than the ebook. Both are very different experiences. You know, with the ebook, you just get to click on a link, and you don't have to grab a phone or grab a laptop and find the video. You just get to click on it. But the physical book, in terms of setting the phone on the book itself and interacting with the sketches, that's a fun thing to do with the actual physical book.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I remember when I was first looking at it, I was going, print or ebook, which experience? I'm still not sure. Then I think that's the great thing that I like about this, is that it's forging something new, and even though the audience might not be too sure about which way they want to go, they will pick. They will want to at least try one of them, because it's just so interesting and such a new and different and fun thing to do.
It really, and that's half. It's just fun. It's a fun experience to, and it might get, some people might do one or two videos a chapter, and some people might do them all. But that's, it just depends on how much they're excited about the story and the message in the chapter.
Is there anything that you would have done differently now that you sort of look back on the process?
I might not have, like every with every product I've ever created, I usually pour a lot of my own capital into it, and I'm learning that doesn't necessarily pay off. We built a very massive website around the book that was amazingly.
It's a fantastic site.
Great site, great layout. It's something that the publisher was excited about, but they weren't willing to pay for. I don't know that many people are using the site, because you can just watch the videos on YouTube and you don't have to, I don't know that it's being used the way that we had hoped.
I've been using the site. That's how I've been watching all of the videos, because as I said, I just love those sketches that are behind the videos.
That's good.
Add something to it. Yeah.
That's great. So, I mean, I don't know that it was a mistake. I often I took a decent portion of the advance, and some of, the publisher Zondervan paid for a lot of the sketches, but I wanted more sketches, so I paid for a lot myself as well. And it was, they did I'm not complaining. They went over and above and beyond, even what they had initially signed on for. But I kind of, for me, it's, I wanted the best version of everything. So it's, I caution people all the time about putting too much of their own capital into something. But I did, and it's, we'll see if it pays off. But it was a fun, either way, it was great. It was a fun experience.
If you're saying that you're working with a couple of other authors in producing similar sorts of books, if you had three things that you could tell a person that they would need, what are the three things that they would need to get their transmedia writing project off the ground? What are the three things you recommend?
A couple things. One is, I think a lot of artists and a lot of writers don't do is they don't understand their audience. A lot of artists talk about, I created this for me, and it was totally what was inside me. I had to do it. And that's great. I spent many years creating things for me, and they didn't sell. And then I started talking to agents and talking to publishers and talking just to people who are in the industry and saying, hey, what does the audience want? So knowing the audience is a big deal. And then knowing what you have to deliver, and then what you get to, it's totally your art. You get to add on to that. But in terms of creating a product, I'd say a couple of different things. Like I'm working with an author right now, Michael Albert, who's written an amazing book. It's a modern day homage to Les Miserables. He's a high school inner city English teacher, and he's got a lot of students that he's taken some of their true stories and built them into this massive book. And we then went to a local community in Washington, D.C., because the book's based in D.C., inner city kind of part of the community, and basically got the community involved in the book. So the book is told from first person style, kind of similar to if you've read The Hunger Games. It's all inside the head of the character. But what we did is put a bunch of films, very simple films, all shot through iPhones or security cameras, within this community.
Wow.
With local actors of the story that happens in the book, but from different characters' perspective. And it really is this amazing kind of mishmash of storytelling, because you don't need the films for the story, but suddenly, because the whole story is within this character's head, we were able to go outside and give you different aspects that really open up whole new aspects of the story. We also are giving each of the characters a Facebook page and a Twitter account and a Tumblr and all these things. And it really, it will, again, you don't need any of these things for the book to work. And this is something I'd caution is again, less is more. Sometimes a brilliant new format takes away. But at the same time, for this, it just adds so much. So we've got, it's not expensive. You know, you can shoot it on iPhones and you know, cheap looking security cameras. But it really just adds this kind of mystery to it. So think really outside the box. Is it a modern day story you're trying to tell? Well, you can use modern day media, Facebook, and that kind of stuff to do it. I'm working on another book right now. It's a fantasy series that is similar to Harry Potter. It's going out with HarperCollins in terms of that audience. It's not similar to Harry Potter, but it's the same kind of audience, and it's a fantasy book. But what we've done is there's a, just to give you an idea of new formats, there's a character that shows up in the first three chapters that then is not in the book at all until the final chapter. But in the first three chapters and in the final chapter, this character plays a very pivotal role. Now, we're creating a website where the reader, younger readers, because everybody is an artist to some degree, and everybody wants to be a writer, they want to tell stories. So we've created a website, or we're creating a website, where the reader can go online and write in 400 words or less what they think happened to that character between chapter 3 and chapter 18. And then the only way they can post their story is by critiquing three other young readers' stories. So people are getting to co-write with the author. They are, and they're getting their writing critiqued, and they're getting to, you know, getting it up there. And then once every 6 months or once every year, we haven't decided yet, I'll go online and I'll pick the story that I think is the best, and I'll co-write with that little writer. Young writer. So that is
fantastic.
It's really just thinking. It's just thinking outside the box. That's what I was talking about. You know, I mentioned a couple of times. We're in a place now where there are no limits to the book. And I love books that only contain words will always exist, and I will read them, and they're amazing. But for somebody like me who really just wants to go deeper and have more fun, and really, you know, the idea of letting young people start to write with the author, where I actually will go online at some point and comment on what they're doing, and other people will comment and give them 3 to 5 stars and tell them what they liked and what they think they could do better. I mean, it just makes it fun. But again, it doesn't take away from the book. It doesn't. It's not necessary for the story. The story stands alone, but it just opens up this whole new world. The story is actually called Jack Staples and the Ring of Time. It's about a boy in 1905 Ireland. At least that's where the story starts, and it's a fantasy. It's based in the real world, but he kind of it's a pretty massive story. It's 76,000 words, so it's a longer children's book for sure. It's as long as a little bit longer than the first Harry Potter was, So it's bigger than most publishers want to publish for that age. But it'll be a trilogy. Book one is finished, and book two is probably halfway there. But it's about a boy who basically begins to discover that he's special, just like all these stories come. And there's a prophecy about this. There's this whole other world that are called the Awakened. And it's people who've had scales fall off their eyes, these invisible scales that everyone is born with. And when the scales fall off, it's because something extreme happens in their life, and they're awakened to the real world, what the real world actually looks like, where fantasy and reality are blended together, and the spiritual and the physical kind of come together. And he finds out he's special from this prophecy from the beginning of time, and it's his journey of discovery and overthrowing the evil in the world. That's a very, very in a nutshell. But the interactive part of it is, like I said, there's the character is actually a small white mouse. So in the book, animals don't talk. They don't. It's not that kind of fantasy. But in the story, there's this mouse that plays. Incidentally plays a very key role at the very beginning and the very end of the book, so the younger readers can go on and write what happened to the mouse and where he was during Jack Staples' adventure. and what the mouse was going through, and whether maybe the mouse played a role, even though we didn't see him in the adventure. And at some point, I'll actually bring that into book two, you know, which would be kind of fun. So I'll take that young writer's idea, and they'll actually put it into the physical book of book two. Now, eventually, book two will be out. I still want people to be posting their thoughts. So eventually, you know, I'll also just pick my favorite one every few months and kind of critique it and give a few extra thoughts of what could have happened. So that's the different kind of format, allowing the young writer to become to co-author the book with me. And then besides that, there's going to be three, maybe four films, depending on budget. There's going to be a prologue and a conclusion that will be there's going to be a conclusion that will be a film piece, and we're debating on making the prologue actually a graphic novel prologue. So actually,
oh yes, do that.
Pretty fun. So it kind of blends these three worlds, and that was kind of an exciting idea that I had just a few months back, and I've been talking to a graphic novel artist who's just amazing. Same guy who did the stuff for Awake, but with Awake he did those sketches in 3 minutes, and he's if you search Mike Cody, you'll find some incredible graphic novel work. It's just amazing artist. We're creating this kind of full on 6-7 page graphic novel that would be a prologue to the book. Then there'll be a middle point kind of and a concluding video. So between 2 to 4 films scattered throughout the book, but they'll be very short 1 to 3 minute films that just kind of shine a little light on Jack Staples' adventure, what happened, and just kind of take you to another level.
That's fantastic. That sounds like a brilliant idea. I'd read that.
It's by far the most fun thing I think I've ever created. So we're pretty excited about it. But I still don't know that I ever would have had somebody take the time to even read it. You know, they get my agent told me recently that HarperCollins gets 1,000 fantasy books per month to them by agents. Not these aren't like just sent in by people who don't have agents. They don't even read those ones. Agents send them 1,000 young. I think it's the whole fantasy realm, so it's kind of young adult and even younger grade fantasy. But 1,000 per month. So I don't know that I ever could have gotten mine even looked at seriously, even with an agent, until I threw in this format that suddenly put it to the top of the pile, where they're like, oh, well, maybe we'll give this guy, let's take a second look, or let's take a first look to see whether this is worth our time. So it's, you know, we do have an opportunity right now to kind of break in ways that we never did before.
And I really hope you succeed, because if you can prove that this is something that people want, then I suppose it makes it makes it easy for the rest of us to get in there and make this sort of extra creative step. So thank you for being the trailblazer, Joe.
Oh, thanks. I can't believe I get to do this for a living. It's kind of crazy, but it's just a lot of fun.
I'm hoping that you're also going to have. Are you going to have QR codes within? The books for this fantasy story as well, or
because they're much more expensive films to make in terms of, you know, their actors and locations, the period piece.
Oh, of course, yes.
Special effects, there's all this kind of stuff. But that said, we're still making. You know, you can still make them. You can make small films feel very big. So we're that's kind of what we're haggling with right now is the budget for, because with Awake we didn't ask for a budget for the films. That I brought the films to the table for free. With this one, we're actually coming in saying, hey, we need a budget to create some of these things. And even the interactive website is just, it's expensive. You know, I'm having people do it cheaply and it's still expensive. But that's kind of what we're talking about now is above and beyond the advance. Can we get some people, can we get a budget to make this thing really, really, you know, amazing?
Mm. And HarperCollins actually has a history of trying new things. It did an augmented reality site for an author called Cecilia Ahern. What they did was they put a glyph, like a black and white glyph, within the printed book. And then what she did is, if you held it up to this webcam, it would allow you access into this augmented reality site. So it makes me wonder how they went about doing that, whether Cecilia contributed to the funds for that, or whether that was something that the publisher did themselves.
It also probably would depend on if she had previously, like, though I'm a previously published author now, Awake still, it's just come out and it still hasn't made anybody any money, so I'm still, that doesn't quite help me get published again.
Yeah, she did have a movie made out of one of her books. So.
Yeah, more of a bargaining power. in terms of, yeah, I'm still having to create new formats at work, which is fun, but it's, you know.
What would you recommend is the best way to get started for someone who's looking to add that extra element to their story?
Well, first thing is make sure, I mean, everyone I know, not everyone, but many people I know want to write a book or have written a few chapters. It really takes writing the book. You know, but if you've written your book, you are halfway there. So just sitting down and actually doing it. But if you have written the book or you haven't, just starting to take a step back. It doesn't matter whether you finished or not. And just really, you know, sit and think outside the box. Do you know, you might not be an artist yourself or a filmmaker or maybe, or an art or a sketcher or it doesn't matter, but do you know somebody who is? I found Mike Covey, the guy who did all of the sketches in Awake, on Craigslist, a local, you know, I didn't know him. I put an ad out and said, I need an artist. I need somebody who can do sketches. But so who do you know who can maybe add to your project? Is it modern day? Is it fantasy? Is it fiction? What will make it stand out? And at some point, it's what will make it stand out, so the agent will pick you up. But it's getting started is just simply, it really is looking at your story, and really just saying, is there something that exists? And it doesn't have, you know, my fantasy is not a modern day. It's 1900s Ireland, but we still made it interactive. It's you know, 100 years old. There's no Facebook. There's no Twitter. It's not, you know, using those things. But what is your story, and what exists that could actually take it out of the bindings? And it doesn't have to be expensive. You know, it can be as simple as a sketch in the book that just adds a dynamic but I think it's just really sitting back and just taking a couple of days and coming up with five ideas. I don't ever take the first idea. You're coming up with five ideas and there's going to be a couple of terrible ones. There's going to be a couple that are too expensive, but really the thing about artists is we're all starving. So it's to find an artist who can help you with your book is not a hard thing. To find an artist who can really add their flavor, and you can partner with them in a way that hasn't been done in the book industry before, is not a hard thing. There's everyone. That's the great and sad thing about us artists is we're always willing to sell ourselves in order to get our work out there. And so just to think, who do I know who could potentially play a role in this, and go from there.
That's fantastic advice, and that's something that I'm applying currently to a book that I'm about to release in a couple of days, where I've written the entire story, and it's all set in Facebook, so everything's done through Facebook status updates, through Facebook notes, through private messages between the characters on Facebook, and as part of that, what I've done is I wanted to create this interactive world where people could sort of be responsible for what direction the story went in the future. And so I've created fan pages for each of the different characters so that they can actually interact between the characters on Facebook, and people can like the pages and then interact with the characters themselves.
Wow,
that's something that's completely, it's free for me. I'm freaking out a little bit about how I'm going to be managing 9 fan pages to interact together, but you know, I'm sure that will come head on, and the main character is a photographer, and I'm an amateur photographer myself, and so I can start doing things like adding photographs within the Facebook pages that you can't add into print, and then, you know, hopefully in the future look at doing things like adding videos and whatnot, which Facebook is really well set up for.
Yeah, and exactly, and even what you're saying now, because just recently I found a new technology called Buffer, which I think has probably been around for a while, but I just found it. But you can set it so that it updates your Facebook automatically at certain times, on certain days, and so I've been trying. Actually, I would love to talk to you about this offline, because I've been trying to figure this out for a format I'm creating. Is how you actually are having it update at the right times for the readers. But all that's just, it's an amazing opportunity. And like you said, Facebook is totally free. It takes the time and energy to set it up. But I'd love to read your book. I can't wait. That's awesome.
Awesome. I suppose sort of coming to the end of the interview now. So where can people find out more information about Awake?
Yeah, you can go to my blog, which is joelnclark.com, N for Nancy, joelnclark.com. Or you can just type in Awake and Joel Clark on Amazon. I think there's a few different Awakes, but if you type Awake and Joel Clark on Amazon, you'll find it there. Or if you're in the States, you can find it in most of your local bookstores. In the Christian Inspiration section is where you'll find it. But thanks so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Thank you very much for talking to us, Joel.
All right.
Thank you for listening today. I hope it inspired you. You can get more information on the ebook revolution and author marketing online at ebookrevolution.blogspot.com. And you can also get your free webinar, The 5 Fast Simple Secrets to Ebook Success, at www.ebookrevolutionnow.com. See you for the next show. Viva la revolution!